Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún Investors conference call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. If you need assistance during the call, please signal your line by pressing star followed by zero, and we will facilitate a question-and-answer session towards the end of today's conference. I would now like to turn the call over to Sebastián Moraga, Chief Financial Officer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Colbún's fourth quarter 2015 conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga. I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today is Miguel Alarcón, our Head of Investor Relations, and María Elena Palma, also member of the investor team. I hope that you have received our fourth quarter press release and our results review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them in the investor sections of our website. Agenda for today on slide two is as follows. We will begin talking about the relevant highlights of the quarter, recent events, to then analyze in detail last year's results. It is worth mentioning that for the analysis, Fenix operations are consolidated from the acquisition date, that is December 18th, 2015. After that, we will give you an update on our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session, and questions will be accepted in English and Spanish. Now please go to slide number three to review some highlights of this quarter. First, revenues for fourth quarter 2015 totaled $301 million, down by 9% compared to fourth quarter of 2014, mainly explained by lower income from customers under contract due to lower unregulated client prices and a slowdown in regulated clients' demands. FX partially compensated with higher spot market energy sales. Second, fourth quarter 2015 posted an EBITDA of $173 million, 9% higher than the EBITDA of $159 million in the same quarter of 2014. The increase over the quarter is explained by a higher hydroelectricity output as a result of increasing water inflows due to the melting season. Third, hydro generation in Chile during the fourth quarter of 2015 was 8% higher than in 2014, which favorably impacts the efficient generation mix. The Chilean hydrological year presented low rainfalls during the first months. However, since July 2015, hydro conditions improved considerably. Fourth, the company was able to meet 94% of its commercial commitments with baseload capacity, hydro and coal, higher than the 91% figure posted in 2014. The remaining commitments were supplied with natural gas generation. Considering the terms negotiated by the company of current gas supply agreements, this source of fuel represents a cost-efficient generation source. Both quarters under review show an appropriate commercial policy in terms of balance between contractual commitments and efficient generation output. Net income of $72 million registered in the fourth quarter of 2015 positively compares with the $59 million loss of the fourth quarter of 2014. The increase is mainly explained by higher EBITDA and by the Hydro Aysén impairment provision affecting the results of 2014, an impairment of $102 million. Finally, financial investments reached almost $1.2 billion at the end of this quarter, while net debt increased 11% to $1.2 billion, mainly due to the incorporation of the financial debt from Fenix Power. Now please go to slide number five to review some recent events. First, on December 18, Colbún, through a consortium where it holds a 51% ownership, bought Fenix Power Peru. This company has a natural gas combined cycle power plant of 570 MW of installed capacity in Chilca, 64 km south of Lima. Its market share is close to 9% in terms of generation within the National Electric Interconnected System, SAINT. Second, on December 22, the board agreed to distribute an interim dividend associated to the profits for the year ended in December 31, 2015. The payment was made available from January 6 of this year. As of January 1st, the company has been authorized by the Chilean Internal Revenue Service to adopt the dollar as currency for tax accounting purposes. Fourth, the sale process of the 57% stake of Isagen, which was owned by the Colombian government, was reopened at the end of December 2015, and the tender offer date was set for January 13, 2016. On January, Colbún stated that due to the limited timing and partly due to the minimum price rise of by 21%, it would not bid. Note that the bidding process was conducted under the terms and deadlines established. Fifth, in the context of the open season process in which GNL Quintero tendered part of a regasification capacity associated with the expansion of the gas regasification terminal located at Quintero, Colbún obtained a reserve capacity in the tender, which was confirmed on December 2015. The involvement of the company within the process is part of its long-term strategy of leveraging its natural gas facilities and contribute to provide competitive, secure, and sustainable energy. Now, I will turn to Maria Elena, who will speak about the main drivers of last year's results and operations.
Thank you, Sebastián, and hello to everyone. Please move to slide number 7 for a review of the main financial figures of this year, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis in Chile. I would like to start by saying that overall, when comparing 2015 against 2015 had lower power demand from customers under contract, partially offset by higher sales to the spot market. Total generation decreased 1%, and hydroelectric generation was down by 3%. Nonetheless, the year's generation mix improved, mainly due to a higher natural gas generation at a more competitive price than the previous year. Energy sales volume to customers under power purchase agreements during 2015 reached 11,053 gigawatt hours, 7% lower than the same period of the previous year, mainly explained by lower demand of regulated clients, by the maturity of CONAFE's regulated contract in April last year, and the maturity of the marginal cost contract with Codelco in December 2014, which was offset in part with the new contract with the same client. Colbún recorded net sales in the spot market of 1,328 gigawatt hour, compared with net sales in 2014 that reached 649 gigawatt hour. Although sales increased year over year, the average marginal cost during 2015 decreased 33%. The power generation breakdown in 2015 was characterized by an important hydroelectric participation of 51%, which favorably impacts the efficient generation mix, and by higher efficient thermal generation with natural gas at a more competitive cost compared to last year. Coal-fired generation during 2015 was 8% down than in 2014 due to a longer annual maintenance of Santa Maria 1 unit and certain unavailabilities of the same plant during the year. Meanwhile, and given the system conditions, diesel generation was lower, 244 gigawatt hour in 2015 compared with 546 gigawatt hour in 2014. While wind farm production was three times higher than in 2014, mainly because Punta Palmera started commercial operation on the fourth quarter of 2014. In summary, the generation mix of the year allowed 80% of the company's commercial commitments to be supplied with efficient energy, hydroelectricity and coal, higher than the 78% figure in 2014. The remaining commitments were supplied with natural gas generation. Now please continue to slide number 8 to analyze Chile's EBITDA for 2015. First, revenues for 2015 totaled $1,308 million, down by 13% compared to 2014. The main reasons were a lower income from customers under contract due to, first, lower unregulated client prices explained by the expiration of the Codelco backup contract in December 2014, replaced by another contract with the same client but at a long-term price. Additionally, this new contract considers the sales in the spot market by Colbún of a portion of the contracted supply that is contracted but not used, with a resulting margin that is credited to the client's billing. Second, a slowdown in a regulated client's demand and the expiration of the CONAFE regulated contract in April 2014. And finally, due to lower prices of regulated clients, mainly due to a decrease in fuel indexers and in a small portion due to an exchange rate depreciation effect. Those decreases were partially compensated by higher sales of energy and power in the spot market. Then, raw materials and consumable use totaled $641 million. A 27% decrease compared to 2014, mainly explained by lower fuel costs, which decreased 31%. With all, EBITDA for this year increased 8% and EBITDA margin improved 45%, which positively compares to 36% figure of last year. Now please continue to slide number 9 for a review of the main financial figures of Phoenix Power Peru, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. The following analysis involves previous periods to the acquisition of Phoenix, that as Sebastián mentioned was on December 18th last year. This is in order to provide a more comprehensive overview of the power plant's operations. So physical withdrawal from customers under contract increased by 25% when comparing 2015 to 2014. Additionally, Phoenix recorded net spot market sales of 524 gigawatt hour in 2015, compared with net purchases of 962 gigawatt hour in 2014. In turn, average marginal cost measured at the Peru's grid during 2015 was lower, reaching $15 per megawatt hour. This is mainly explained by a higher efficient supply on the system, even though power demand insane increased. Also, it is worth mentioning that the company holds energy contracts with Termotilca, but given the contract characteristics, those withdrawals are considered as spot market sales and not as contracted energy. As a reference, Termotilca withdrew 628 gigawatt-hour in 2015. Thermal gas power generation in 2015 reached 3,621 gigawatt hour, 2 times higher when compared to 2014. Remember, the unit started commercial operations in December 2014. Annual owned generation allowed 100% of the company's commercial commitments to be supplied. Now please continue to slide number 10 to analyze Peru's EBITDA for the period after the acquisition of Fenix. On this slide, financial figures consider the period post-acquisition started the 18th of December. So first, revenues from ordinary activities post-acquisition for the 2015 year reached $6.2 million, mainly coming from clients under contract, both regulated and free clients. Then raw materials and consumable use totaled $4.8 million, mainly explained by gas costs and transmission toll costs. With all, EBITDA for 2015 reached $1.3 million with an EBITDA margin of 21%. Now let's move to slide number 11 for the consolidated non-operating income and net income analysis. Non-operating income for 2015 recorded losses of $87 million, lower than the losses of $185 million in 2014, which is mainly explained by the Draisen provision previously mentioned of about $100 million, in part offset by higher interest expenses due to a higher average level of gross debt and lower capitalization of this cost after the commissioning of the Angostura power plant in April 2014. The company recorded in 2015 a profit of $202 million, an increase when compared to the $82 million in 2014, mainly explained by higher EBITDA, giving a better generation mix, and the Draisen impairment provision that affected 2014. The controller net income reached $205 million, 1.5 times higher than in the previous year. Now, continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 13, where Miguel will give you an update on the status of our growth options.
Thank you, Maria Elena. As we have mentioned before, we continue searching for growth opportunities in Chile and other countries in the region, such as Colombia and Peru, in order to maintain a leading position in the power generation business and diversify our sources of income. Remember that in December, in the internationalization and expansion framework over new Latin American markets, Colbún, together with two other firms, acquired Fenix Power Peru. This company has a thermoelectric combined cycle unit of 570 megawatts of installed capacity in Chilca, 64 kilometers south of Lima. According to a partnership agreement, Colbún participates with a 51% stake of Fenix Power Peru, acting as controlling and operating partner. Alia has a 36% stake and Sigma the remaining 13%. This transaction involved for Colbún a total investment of $214 million. Now, in terms of our local projects, in slide number 14, we announced in December of 2014 the construction of La Mina project. The construction and commissioning of this project is expected to last around 26 months, therefore starting commercial operations early 2017. At the end of last year, the project had a 46% of progress. Estimated CapEx is approximately $130 million. La Mina qualifies as non-conventional renewable energy mini hydro power plant, which contributes to Colbún's obligation to comply with Law 2025 renewable requirements. In January of last year, the contractor responsible for executing the civil works started construction. During the second semester of last year, some progresses were the beginning of setting up concrete at the powerhouse, the diffusers were mounted, and the concrete at the mobile barrier was completed. Also, the Loma Alta transmission line started construction in November of last year, and progress at the end of last year is 12%, which is according to the plan. Now, please move to slide 15. Regarding the San Pedro Hydroelectric Project, in June of last year, the environmental impact assessment for the changes to the project was submitted, being initially accepted into process by the Environmental Assessment Service of Los Ríos region. However, in August of last year, the authority decided to terminate the process due to lack of relevant and essential information. The decision was confirmed after the company filed an administrative appeal with new information. Notwithstanding the foregoing, the company is analyzing the observations from all public services in order to collect and prepare a timely response with technically founded information required by the authority. In parallel, we continue with a broad explicative and qualifying meeting process plan with municipalities, communities, neighborhood, regional authorities, and indigenous communities, among other stakeholders, in order to re-enter the project during this year. Now, regarding our coal-fired Santa Maria II thermoelectric project of 350 megawatts of installed capacity, the company is analyzing the social, economic, and commercial dimensions of the project to timely start its development. With this, we conclude Colbún 2015 results review. Thanks for listening, and now we're open to answer your questions.
All right, and ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your phone. Again, that is star followed by 1. And we do have a first question coming from Daniel Selman from MetLife.
Hola, buenas tardes. Primero que todo, felicitarlos por los resultados del cuarto trimestre. Y la verdad, tengo dos preguntas. En primer lugar, ¿deberíamos esperar que primero una consolidación de Phoenix Power antes de retomar los planes de expansión en la región, o básicamente esto va a depender de las oportunidades que se presenten? Y segundo, si existe alguna posibilidad de entrar en una segunda instancia como socios de Brookfield en el proceso de privatización de Isagen.
Hola Daniel, habla Sebastián, gracias por tu pregunta. Primero que todo, el tema de Fénix, efectivamente nosotros vamos a trabajar en lo que es la consolidación de las operaciones de Fénix, dado que solamente tiene su primer año de operación, pero la consolidación viene básicamente por dos frentes. Uno es una consolidación operacional y la segunda es una consolidación comercial. Pero eso no es excluyente de que nosotros podamos seguir explorando otras oportunidades en la región, ¿eh? Y con relación a tu segunda pregunta, con relación a una segunda instancia con Brookfield, la verdad que no hemos tenido acercamiento con Brookfield hasta este minuto.
Perfecto, muchas gracias.
All right, next question comes from Rodrigo Mora from Mendea.
Hola, buenas tardes. Tengo dos consultas respecto a la operación de Fénix Power. Una es, ¿qué es lo que ustedes están esperando para este año, dado las instalaciones, los contratos comerciales que se han encontrado? Se me gustaría entender qué es lo que están mirando, a qué están apuntando en términos de EBITDA para este año, y si nos podían comentar un poco más cómo es la dinámica de los contratos. Ustedes tienen un contrato con otro generador. ¿Este contrato hasta cuánto dura, hasta cuánto tiempo más dura? Y lo otro, quería preguntar también si una vez que empiece a operar la expansión del gasoducto, eso significa que el costo de generación que tiene hoy día la compañía pueda bajar. Ese es un tema. Y lo otro que me gustaría saber es si hay algunas noticias que nos pueden comentar respecto a la reestructuración de la deuda que tiene Fénix Power en este momento. Gracias.
Hola Rodrigo, ¿cómo estás? Hola Miguel, gracias por tus preguntas. Mira Rodrigo, primero comentarte que como tú sabes, nosotros acabamos de adquirir la compañía y nuestro esfuerzo ha sido, luego del due diligence, en concentrarnos en consolidar de buena manera los primeros 12 días de operación de la central. Esto es del 18 al 31 de diciembre del 2015. Y producto de eso, estamos todavía en el proceso de análisis de las cifras completas del 2015 y producto de lo mismo, no podemos en este momento entregar una proyección de EBITDA hacia el 2016. Tú sabes que nosotros en Colbún, además, siempre por política interna, no entregamos proyección de resultados y en Fénix no puede ser distinto. Naturalmente, en la medida en que hayamos recabado más información y hayamos profundizado nuestro análisis, podremos entregar algún tipo de lineamiento que esperamos para el año, pero en momento eso no es posible. Respecto a la política comercial, también preguntaste, y te diría que la respuesta es similar. Efectivamente, la compañía tiene un pool de contratos con una vida media en torno a los 7 años de ese orden, y es algo que también nos encontramos revisando en caso de que hubiera que hacer algún ajuste. particularmente porque la compañía también tiene algunos contratos de corto y mediano plazo que van venciendo en los próximos años. Finalmente, Rodrigo, respecto a tu pregunta de reestructuración financiera, efectivamente la compañía tiene una deuda bancaria que está próxima a vencer y nosotros ya hemos comprometido su refinanciamiento en condiciones competitivas con bancos tanto locales como internacionales en Perú, y eso ya está listo y está acordado.
¿Nos pueden dar más o menos alguna idea de cuánto puede ser la tasa que podrían refinanciar esa deuda?
Rodrigo, no te puedo informar todavía la tasa, pero sí comentarte que son condiciones competitivas y en línea con el costo financiero que ha venido mostrando Colmún.
Okay. Y en relación a la operación en Chile, ¿qué es lo que ustedes están viendo para el año 2016, tanto en términos de hidrología en la primera mitad del año y también en términos de demanda de clientes? Por ejemplo, a mí me llamó mucho la atención la menor demanda que hubo de algunos clientes, por ejemplo, algunos clientes regulados. Me llama la atención Saesa, por ejemplo, que redujo los retiros de energía de Colbún el año pasado respecto al 2014.
Hola Rodrigo, Sebastián, aquí. Con relación a tu primera pregunta, ¿qué vemos en el 2016 con relación a hidrología? Bueno, de hidrología los primeros meses, tú ya bien debes saber que está bastante jugada, es decir, hay que ver los niveles de embalse, cómo están, y de ahí se puede sacar fácilmente cómo esperamos que sean a lo menos los 3 primeros meses, ¿ah? Con todo, nosotros vemos que el nivel de embalse al día de hoy versus lo que había el año pasado, hay mejores condiciones, a lo menos de almacenamiento. Por lo tanto, si tú pudiésemos comparar los 3 primeros meses del 16 versus los 3 primeros meses del 15, debiéramos ver una leve mejoría. Con relación a la demanda, bueno, la demanda del 2015, la demanda terminó cerrando cercano al 1,4% de crecimiento en lo que es el sistema interconectado. Esto es una importante baja de lo que vimos en 2014, en donde fue cercano al 2,6. Mira, obviamente todos sabemos que la demanda eléctrica está fuertemente correlacionada con el crecimiento de la economía. Ah, y con la información que nosotros tenemos al día de hoy, Rodrigo, la verdad que no debiéramos ver una diferencia material de demanda eléctrica de lo que quedó de esta cifra de 1,4% del 2015. ¿Ah? Esa es con la información que tenemos al día de hoy. Ahora, específicamente entrando en cada cliente, bueno, tú sabes que nosotros vemos este tema a nivel de portafolio. Ahora, no sé si tú quieres específicamente entrar en detalles, pero nosotros siempre hablamos a nivel agregado.
No, no, me parece bien, sí, hablar en nivel agregado, sí. Lo que pasa es que hubo algunos retiros, algunas compañías que redujeron, distribuidoras que redujeron fuerte su consumo, y una de ellas es Saesa, o sea, es muy grande la diferencia respecto al 2014. Es por eso que le quería preguntar. Y lo otro que quería aprovechar de preguntarle es por algunas renovaciones de contratos. Tanto clientes libres próximos a vencer y creo que cuánto es la cantidad de energía que ustedes como Colbún tienen que renovar para los próximos años. Estoy pensando en la próxima licitación de suministro de este año.
Rodrigo, soy la María Elena. Mira, en cuanto a la renovación de contratos, el primer vencimiento de contrato que tenemos a finales del 2019, parte de esa energía viene a ser recontratada o está considerada en las licitaciones que vendrán este año. Por parte de los clientes libres, en cambio, tenemos contratos de largo plazo, como ustedes conocen, con Codelco, que no están ni cerca de vencer. Por el parte de Anglo, es un contrato que vence a principios de los 2020. Por lo tanto, sí existe una licitación abierta de parte de Anglo, pero que está en proceso y no hay nada que comentar al respecto aún.
Okay, o sea, a fines del 2019 vence energía regulada actualmente.
Sí, así es.
¿Y cuántos gigas son eso?
Cerca de 2.500 gigawatt-hora.
Ya. ¿Y para lo que es el 21, el 22?
Está más o menos también en ese orden. El 2020 son del orden de 2.000 gigawatt-horas, es algo en ese monto, 5.000 gigawatt-horas más o menos en esos tres años. Si quieren, nosotros, la información de los clientes regulados, como tú sabes, es pública, nosotros podemos compartir todos los vencimientos de esos contratos.
Okay, o sea que aproximadamente serían 5.000 gigas los que ustedes tendrían que salir a refinanciar para los próximos años.
Rodrigo, mira, complementando lo que dice María Elena, la filosofía de Colbún, tú sabes que es obviamente rentabilizar sus activos que son de largo plazo con contratos de largo plazo. Entonces nosotros obviamente estamos viendo que a partir del 2019 viene en vencimiento y nuestra política ha sido contratar nuestra energía base eficiente, que hoy día es la hidrología en caso medio, el carbón, y dependiendo cómo finalmente salga el proceso de licitación internacional de GNL, bueno, y a qué precio eso también. Al día de hoy el GNL para Colbún es costo eficiente, ¿ah? Todo lo que tenemos contratado con Metrogas y ENAP. ¿Ah? Y veremos más adelante cómo resulta el proceso de licitación de largo plazo, y ahí veremos si eso se puede incorporar en nuestro portafolio para a la vez salir a contratar energía.
Rodrigo, te habla Miguel, un último comentario es que si tú revisas nuestras últimas presentaciones de inversionistas disponibles en la página web, ahí mostramos el escenario actual de PPAs y cómo esos contratos van venciendo hasta el 2022. Si ya tienes la información disponible.
Ah, ok. Perfecto. Bueno, muchas gracias.
Todos los contratos son de la presentación. La línea de vencimiento de los PPAs. Vencimientos.
Rodrigo, con eso estamos ok, ¿no es cierto?
Sí, muchas gracias. Muchas gracias.
Right. Next question comes from Jean May from Pioneer Investments.
Hi, thanks for your presentation. May I know what is your CapEx plan for 2016 and 2017?
Hi, Jim. CapEx for 2016, as of today, involves mainly the portion for La Mina hydroelectric power plant, which we have still to disbursements of approximately $60 million, and other CapEx of I would say another 50 to 60 million. So we should close 2016 with a bulk number of 130 million. For 2017, La Mina project should be finalized, so if no other new project comes in streamlined, our CapEx should be on the range of 20 to 30% of our annual depreciation, so that is close to some $50 to $60 million.
Right. So I realized that you still have like a big cash balance, around $1 billion. So if, see for example, San Pedro or Santa Maria projects are delayed, are you planning to do special dividends or raise dividends payout ratio?
Yes, well, the dividend policy will be discussed at our annual shareholder meeting, which is held in April. And in that meeting, a discussion over our dividend policy should take place. So rather than answering in this conference, we should expect news by April of this year.
Sure. So you're happy with the high cash balance in that case?
No, I did not say I am happy. What we say is that we will revise any update on dividend policy at our annual shareholders meeting, which will be held in April of this year.
Right, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And one more time, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone. Again, that is star followed by 1. We have a question coming from Ezequiel Ferendez.
Hola, Sebastián, Miguel, María Elena. Gracias por tomar la pregunta y gracias por la presentación. La primera pregunta que quería hacerles era respecto de la reserva de capacidad que tienen con LNG Quintero. Si tienen algún deadline para firmar un take or pay con Quintero, o si pueden comentar un poco de eso. Lo segundo es, bueno, Rodrigo ya les preguntó un poco acerca del guidance de ventas de contratos para Chile en la primera mitad del año. Quería saber si esto se puede extender a la segunda mitad, si podríamos esperar en Chile ventas por contrato flat versus el año pasado, y si pudiesen dar de Perú algún guidance de ventas por contrato en gigawatt.
Hola Ezequiel, ¿cómo estás? María Elena. Primero, respecto a tu pregunta en el Open Season, efectivamente Colbún, como ustedes saben, fue seleccionado para tener parte de esta expansión, de la tercera expansión que va a ser el Terminal Quintero. Colbún confirmó esta capacidad en el mes de diciembre, y por lo tanto ya estamos en proceso de negociaciones y de cierres de contrato, a la vez que también estamos buscando por nuestros propios medios suministradores de gas, pero no existe ningún deadline específico, solo comentar de que la capacidad ya está confirmada y ya es un hecho.
Ok, perfecto. ¿Y podrían esperar que el contrato formal se cierre este año o lo ven quizás más para el 2017?
Probablemente este año.
Perfecto.
There are no other questions.
¿Aló?
We did have another question just coming to queue. It's coming from Jacob Steinfeld from JP Morgan.
Hi, good morning. Thanks very much for the call. I have a follow-up question on the refinancing of the bank debt at Phoenix. I was wondering, is this debt that you're going to raise at Phoenix level, or is this bank debt you're going to raise at Colbún?
Thanks, Jacob. It's Miguel here. It's going to be raised at Phoenix level with no recourse to Colbún.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
We have another question coming from Ezequiel Fernandez.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I got disconnected on the second question regarding the contract sales. The guidance for 2016, is it fair to say that it might be flat against the last year? And if you could give guidance for contract sales for Peru in 2016 as well.
Hi, Ezequiel. This is Sebastian. As I answered to Rodrigo, as of today, demand growth in Chile for the whole year, we are seeing no material difference from what was posted last year, which was a growth approximately in the neighborhood of 1.4-1.5%. So it is fair to say that as of today, again, we could see flat growth.
Okay, and can you give any information about Peru in terms of gigawatt for 2016?
Hi, Ezequiel. In Peru, on 2015, we had about 3.6 terawatt hour of PPA, and for 2016, we are expecting a decrease in about 15 to 20%, mainly because some contracts expired at the end of 2015.
Perfect, great. And I have one last question, sorry about that. With oil prices at close to $30 per barrel, maybe 35, do you have any expectations that during 2016, any oil-fired units could displace some gas units in the select dispatch order, or that's far from happening?
Ezequiel, at current levels, if we see oil at 30, but we see Henry Hub at 2, we see little chance of that occurring. Now, in case, let's say, there's a disruption in say, LNG supply worldwide, and, say, LNG prices come up while prices of oil remain at this level, probably it could happen. But as of today, with the current prices, we see little chance of that happening.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
There are no other questions.
Okay, so if there are no further questions, thanks for joining our fourth quarter conference call, and we hope to be in touch with you again once we publish our first quarter 2016 figure. So have a good day, and bye, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you so much for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.